Chapter 1. The thing no one tells you about being a single parent is that you will be running late for the rest of your life. No matter how early you set the alarm, how generously you appoint transition time, or how much you prepare the night before, you will still find yourself standing in the entryway of your house at 8:05 yelling, "Are your socks on yet?" as you anxiously watch the seconds go by. I know, because I'm here now, yelling those exact words for the fourth time today, and at least the 30th time this week. My lifetime count is probably in the thousands.
"I can't find matches."
"It doesn't matter," I call, trying not to let the frustration show. "Matching socks are boring anyway." This appears to be today's golden ticket, because my daughter, Parker, bounces down the stairs seconds later, beaming from behind her no-break soft plastic glasses.
"Look,"
she says, gesturing down. One of her feet appears to be getting eaten by an ankle-length frog, and the other hugged by a smiling, rosy-cheeked sloth. "Perfect," I pronounce, forgetting the ticking clock for a moment as I look down at her. The other thing they don't tell you about being a single parent is that you'll love your quirky, nearsighted, perfectly herself oddball child so much, it will make every stressful countdown worth it. And then some. Despite the ticking clock, I take out my phone and snap a picture. My best friend Inez's contact is at the top of my suggested list, of course. I don't trust myself to remember the nuance of the outfit when I see her later, so I send it with the caption, "Fashion icon." "I thought we were late," Parker says pointedly. "We are," I say, stowing my phone with a chuckle. "I wanted to show Auntie Inez your style, but now we'll probably be last in the drop-off line again."
"I like being last,"
Parker says, unruffled as she pulls hot pink rain boots on over her mismatched socks.
"I get to make an entrance."
She flounces out to the car before I can respond, tutu bouncing over her jeans, green dinosaur sweatshirt, completing the ensemble. Oh, to have the confidence of a 6-year-old, I think, as I grab the keys and follow. We are indeed last in the drop-off line. The doors to Ridley Falls Elementary are so close and yet so far away. This morning, the school is wreathed in mist, with the town's trademark ponderosas looming over it. In the back seat of the Jeep, Parker belts along to the radio. "When your car was made before the new millennium, there's no aux cord, and there's something pop-rocky playing that I recognize from working 1,000 karaoke nights. It makes my brain hurt. I pray for the serenity not to lean on the horn at the PTA moms lingering at the front of the line."
"If you took a chance, if you let me in."
"How do you know this song?" I ask, glancing at Parker in the rearview mirror. She's using one of her rain boots as a microphone. She gives me a withering look.
"Everyone knows this song. The Walking Wild. Madison's mom knows them."
This is probably true. When Ridley Falls became the home of the Pacific Northwest's most beloved indie record label 5 years ago, name-dropping within city limits reached an all-time peak. "Put your shoes back on," I reply wearily. "We'll be at the front in just a minute." It takes 10, but we do eventually reach the promised land, marked by traffic cones adorned with the school mascot, the mighty porcupine. No matter how late we are, I can never bring myself to rush this part. I get out of the car, unbuckling Parker and grabbing her backpack, checking for missing shoes, glasses, lunchbox, etc., and pleased to find everything where it's supposed to be for once. "Have a good day at school," I say, down on one knee in front of her.
"I always do."
"I know. You're pretty awesome, you know that?" "Duh," Parker says, flipping one of her short brown pigtails.
"You tell me every day."
"Get used to it. I'll still be doing it when you're 105.
Deal.